Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this, I want to say broadcast, but it's not a broadcast recording. And I welcome you again, and thank you for listening in, and we're going to study about God's Word again today. We're in the letter B and studying about the Bible. Well, first of all, I'd like to correct something that I said last recording. And remember when I was talking about Psalm chapter 13, verse 13, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed." That wasn't Psalm; it was a book of Proverbs. And I staggered on that, and I wasn't sure whether I was saying it right, but I told you that whenever I made a mistake, that I would try to correct it. So there you go. That's not Psalm 13:13. That was Proverbs 13:13. "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." What a wonderful scripture. And that's how God honors his word. You know, ever since I've known the Lord, and the Lord has been teaching me, one thing that the Lord He's never went away from as far as the importance and bearing down on me of the importance of his word and honoring his word. And he's never let up on letting and on teaching me of what he thinks of his word. You know, the Lord, in Psalm 138, verse 2, he magnifies his word above his name. He magnifies his word above his name and above his son's name. And you know how important the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the word of God. And but the Lord magnifies his word, and it just really blows me away. It puzzles me how men can, but men, that's the evil in men. The Lord said that he knows what's in man. And he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ told us that we're evil, and we are. And any man that tells you the truth and admits and is an honest man will tell you, and he'll admit that. It don't take long to know you, that you have a Adamic nature. And, the Lord's always, magnified his word and has shown how important it is to him. And we've been going over that, talking about how beautiful his word is and talking about some things in his word here concerning the Bible. And we, just to recap a little bit, we talked about what is the Bible. 66 books gathered into two different sections called the Old and the New Testament, remember? And we also broke them down from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And how many books were in each? 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And then how they were categorized with the writings and the history and poetical and wisdom books. And then the prophets, which were broken down into two different categories also, which were called the major and minor prophets. Do you remember the difference in a major and a minor prophet? Yes, you do. I bet you do. It's the length of the letter, isn't it? How long the letter is. And the New Testament was broken down into the Gospels, the one book of transitional book or history book, the Acts of the Apostles, and then the Epistles. And what does Epistles mean? It means simply letters, right? Letters. And then those were categorized in two different kinds of letters or epistles, and those were the Pauline epistles, and they were the general epistles. And you remember the difference in them, right? Okay, and then the prophecy book. We have a prophecy book, which was one book, and it was the Revelation. Then we talked about how did we receive the Bible, and we began to discuss the subject of inspiration, that God used human writers to pen his words, and that God authored the Bible. God the Holy Ghost is the author of the Bible. The Bible says that he is the author and finisher of our faith, and the way in which that God gave us the scriptures and gave us the Bible was through inspiration. And we discussed inspiration and went through that. And then we talked about, do we have the Bible today? Remember that? And we discussed the original manuscripts. Remember, we talked about that also. And which is just like reading the funny papers. the original manuscripts. Great, goodness alive. It seemed like people would find something just a little bit more, something. You leave it to a man to come up with something stupid to try to magnify himself over. The Lord's sitting up there in heaven and he's laughing at some of these characters that come up with some of this stuff, I'm sure. But when it comes to the Lord's Word, he's not talking about no original manuscripts in his Word anywhere. You don't find it. It's not there. He talks about his Word, and he talks about his Word in a past, present, and future tense. But the Lord is always, the Bible takes it for granted that it is. It doesn't talk of, the Bible never speaks of itself or of the words of itself as past tense or has been. You don't find that. Unless, of course, you're going to make you a translation yourself and put what you want in there. That's a completely different scenario there, right? But we talked about the original manuscripts and how vain it is to chase after something like that. And you don't have to, because if you're sincere with the Lord, you need to stay with his Word and not get all mixed up and let the devil... the Bible says, give no place to the devil. And you don't want to get mixed up in all that kind of stuff that ministers questions and starts making you wonder and have a bunch of doubts and things like that. Ever since you were children, all you knew was that there was a Bible, and that Bible was God's words. And you didn't know anything about translations. You didn't know anything about original manuscripts. You didn't know anything. They don't teach original manuscript evidence in children's Sunday school. You know why? Because it'd make them look stupid. So, how has God preserved his Word? We went through that through a bunch of Jewish patriots and Bible-believing Christians and the Hebrew. Do you have to know Hebrew and Greek to know the Bible? No, you do not. God preserved his words in the English language, and we have it right in front of us. You say, prove it. Okay, well, come over to my house, and I'll show it. I'll show it to you right to your face. You can take a picture of it. It's right here. I got it right here in front of me. And it's in English, and I understand it. And God the Holy Ghost has bore witness with my spirit that it is the Word of God, and he gives me truth to live by out of it and guides me, and he does the same with you, doesn't he? Now, there's no such thing as a person on this earth today owning a Bible and it not being a copy. You own a copy, and I own a copy, and everyone else owns a copy of the Bible if you've got the Bible. All right? The Bible has been translated. The King James Bible's been translated into 160 major languages, and probably more than that by now, and 200 minor languages and 300 dialects. And it's been reproduced over 809 million copies since 1611. Now, that speaks in itself for some reason. You know, there's something about that book. Something about that book. Does the Bible teach that God commands and inspires copies of his Word? Well, we went over that last week and read a lot of scripture on it. By the way, if you've got your pencil sharpened, let me go ahead and give you those scriptures. I think you probably wrote them down because we read so much last week. The scriptures are these. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, and verse 17. And then Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20. And then we read Jeremiah chapter 36, the whole chapter. And I think that about rounded us off as far as what we talked about last week. Now, remember, we went over three different examples last week, and you ought to have a peace in your heart about whether or not God honors and puts his stamp of approval on copies of his Word. All down through history, the Lord has, ever since he wrote in those tables of stone his very first written word, that we know about, and gave them to Moses, and Moses busted them up, and then went back up there with two other tables of stone, and the Lord rewrote the same words on there for him, and then gave them back to him, and told him, put them in the ark. The Lord made a copy, and he's been making copies ever since, and providing copies for people for ever since, all the way up until now. If you're born again, and being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you've been born again, and you were born again by hearing the word of God, like the scripture says, you heard the word of God from a copy of the word of God, not from the original manuscripts. Okay, so don't let that stuff get you all thrown sideways and get your gears all stuck and throw wrenches in you, gear cogs and all that stuff and whatever else mix you all up. Don't let that stuff get you all mixed up, because it's just something to make somebody look smart, and they don't look smart. And it's just a big old Trojan horse that they're riding on, and the Lord's going to pull their pants down in front of everybody one day, and they're going to be ashamed. Okay, but we talked about God and Moses. We talked about God's law to the kings that sit upon the throne. Remember, they were ordered to rewrite and commanded to rewrite God's words and make themselves a copy, and God used the word copy. Okay, and then there was one other one, God and Jehoiakim, remember? He took the penknife and cut it up, because he got so convicted whenever they read God's word in front of him that he cut it up thinking he was going to get rid of it. Well, what'd the Lord do? He had Jeremiah recite the words again and for Barak to rewrite the words. Then he added some extra words in there, which probably Jehoiakim didn't care to hear them either. Okay, so we have copies. Now, beginning today, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about why do we need the Bible today. But before we do that, the Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. And the Lord said that for the Lord, the Son of God, to identify what truth is. Now, that's one thing man has been seeking after and still seeking after, and going here and there and hustle and bustle and up and down and in and out and right and left and black and white, and just searching and searching and searching. And what are they searching for? They're searching for the truth. Searching for the truth. And some of them know where the truth is, but they're searching for another truth that the Bible talks about. But Jesus, the Son of God, identified what the truth is, and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Whose truth? His Father's. Heavenly Father's truth. Thy word is truth. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, and the Lord said, unless the Father draw them, that they can't come to him. Okay, so in John chapter 6, verse 63, now I'll read that to you in a minute, but you know, Satan and man have always, Satan and man have and always will try to destroy or change God's holy book, but they've been miserably failed. The book is here, and it's around, and you can get a copy down at the dime store for a dollar. You can go get a copy of the King James Bible at the Dollar General or the whatever you want to call it, one of them stores, for a dollar. And it's just that available. We are really a blessed people, and nobody's going to have any excuse for saying that they did not have a chance to have God's Word, especially in America. Now, God said that he's keeping it, and he is. All of these self-proclaimed intelligent folks that think that they are going to outwit the Lord and they're fooling around with his word, and they're fooling themselves. Boy, they're going to answer to the Lord for their wicked and dishonest and insincere attempts at manipulating the truth and misleading millions of people that the Lord died for. John 17:17, we read just a minute ago, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. People don't know the truth outside of God's word. There is no truth outside of God's word. If God's word disappeared right now, this, you talk about things getting bad. Brother, it's only God, the Holy Ghost, and the written word of God that's keeping things in the order that, what order is order nowadays. You wait till after the rapture. When the Lord is gone, God the Holy Ghost is in us, remember? And at the rapture, we're gone. And guess who else is leaving? And, oh boy, you talk about, and that's why they call it the tribulation. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter, in his own fishing mind, and what a wonderful man he was, he might have messed up some, but I tell you what, he had the intelligence. He's smarter than some of these educated big doctor, master, whatever they're called. These educated folks that walk around talking about the original manuscripts. This fisherman here had more intellect than and more smarts than any of them, because he recognized who was the truth and who had the words of life, and didn't dare try to manipulate them or change them or fool anybody with them. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. He didn't say search the original manuscripts. He said search the scriptures. It would be very unfair for God to tell us to search the scriptures when we don't have the scriptures, wouldn't it? That'd be kind of like setting a carrot out in front of you and then laughing at you. Well, the Bible says that God doesn't upbraid men. He don't make fun of men. And he don't try to pull tricks on people like that. But the devil does. But the devil does. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive him. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom we trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You see how important them words are? Any man that fears God fears his word. Any man that fears God's word fears messing with it. Here's a quotation from Sir Walter Scott that I like, and a couple other preachers that I respect. I found that they had it written in their books too, but listen to this. Within this wondrous volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to find the way. And better had they ne'er been born who read to doubt or read to scorn. You better not mess with that book. You might hate God, and you might not might not want nothing to do with him, excuse me. But you better leave that book alone. You better leave that book alone. And if you have messed with that book, you better repent and tell God you're sorry. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You know, the Lord doesn't mind pulling your pants down in front of the whole world and embarrassing you in front of the whole world. He'll do it in a minute. He'll do it in a minute. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 says, for I testify unto every man, and I don't know how any of the scholars and any of the hotshots miss this verse and don't ever bring this up in all their all their better translations, and it would sound better and it would be more meaningful if it was written this way. I don't know why anybody hasn't never taken this verse and done that with it. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Didn't say it'd take away his salvation, but it said it'd take everything else away. Isn't that something? Got a verse in there that tells you don't mess with the words. Don't add to them. Don't take away from them. Don't change them. But somehow people just miss that. They just miss it. One thing to see and another thing to see, ain't it? So don't mess with the book. Don't mess with the book. You better fear the Lord and you better fear His Word. Fearing Him is fearing His Word. Now, why do we need the Bible? First of all, God thinks that we need a Bible. That's pretty important to think of right there by itself, isn't it? God thinks we need a Bible. He had one written for us. He had it written down for us. That should be reason enough for us to want to know what He has to say. You know, I mean, if you knew that God had a letter written to you and wanted you to know some things that He knows, wouldn't you want it? Wouldn't you want to know? Well, what do you think the Bible is? The Bible is a letter that God has 66 letters, epistle, 66 letters that God, books that God has put together in one book for us to have to know about what life and all the questions of being a human is about and what God is about. That ought to show us what kind of condition that we're in, really. That God would think that we need His words, and we could really care less whether we have them or not. Wow. You know what grace God has given us and what patience He's shown with us? You know, if any one of us was God and we offered our creation that had rebelled against us, we offered them our words one time and said, "Here, this will fix the thing. Here, I want you to read this." And they spit on it and kicked it aside. What would you do? We would have destroyed it already. We would have destroyed it. That's what man would have done. Either God is everything He says He is, and the human race is everything He says it is, or He does not exist, and the whole Bible thing is blah, 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 blah. Now, that's just the bottom line. It's either right or wrong, light or darkness, yes or no, alive or dead, on or off, day or night, real or make-believe. Which is it? Now, the answer is God is real. And His Word is real. Period. Believe it or not, He still is, and His Word still is. In the verse of, let me find you a verse here. There was one I wanted to read to you. Psalm. In the book of Psalm, chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Listen to this verse. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, either that's true or it's not. It either happened or it didn't. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, it'd be very unfair for God to tell us, now that you've been born again, I want you to read my word so that you can grow thereby. And you can grow just like a baby would grow sucking on a bottle. Desire the sincere milk of the word. If the word didn't exist. We need God's word. Why do we need God's word? Because we don't know anything. We're stupid. We don't know any truth without God. There is no such thing as finding truth without God. And you don't even know yourself without God. We only have identity with God the Holy Ghost living in and through us. You don't even have an identity without God in you. Why do you think people change? They buy a whole wardrobe, and then 6 months later go buy a whole new wardrobe, and then they go to the gym, and then they eat themselves until they're overweight, and then they go to the gym and change. Well, people are always changing into something else. How come? Because they don't know who they are. They have no identity without the Lord. And neither do you, and neither do I. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. We need God's Word so that we can grow and so we can understand the things about life and about eternity and about the things that, you know, there's so much. Do you think God has put everything that He knows in the Bible? Probably not. I would venture say that the knowledge that, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that whenever we're changed into the image of Christ, we're going to have the mind of Christ. So even having God's Word down here, and He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He tells us to study His Word and to know His Word, and we can study during our lifetime for 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. And do you think you know everything God knows when you die? Probably not. Probably don't even ain't even scratching the surface of it, right? Because it says whenever we die or whenever we're changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to know what He knows then. So there are a bunch of things. There's so much out there that we don't even have any inkling. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered in the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him. We have absolutely no idea about some things and aren't going to know until we get to be with the Lord and like the Lord completely. And our salvation is complete. Okay? But why do we need the Bible? What kind of crazy question is that? We have to have the Scriptures. And if we didn't have the Scriptures, I mean, look what happens in the world now, even with us having the Scriptures and having God the Holy Ghost and the conviction of the Word of God and working in the world today, showing people what was right and wrong. If that wasn't here, can you imagine what it would be like? The selfishness and the greed and the covetousness and the murder and the oh, my. It's only God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that's holding this world down from destroying itself to begin with. So, right or wrong, light or darkness, yes or no, alive or dead, on or off, day or night, real or make-believe, which is it? The answer is that God is real and His Word is real, and we need God's Word. Why do we need the Bible? Because, well, believe it or not, God still is and His Word still is. It's in the world today. And God's going to hold every man accountable for the truth and the light that he has been given. You know, you're going to die, and some things you're not going to be responsible for because you weren't never given light about them. You weren't never told the truth about them. You didn't know anything about them. And God is a very fair God. He doesn't hold you responsible for what you are not liable for. But if you're liable, whether you're deceiving it in your heart or whether you knew about it and you're hiding it, and we know how we do, don't we? And you're hiding it and you know the truth, you're going to be held responsible for that truth that you've been given. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, just like I was reading a minute ago, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The idea is that we need to desire. The Lord has had to tell us with Peter writing there to lead us to desire God's Word. Why do we need the Bible? Because we need it. God knows we need it, and He wrote down for us to desire it. And the only way that you desire God's Word is on purpose. You desire God's Word on purpose. And that takes a change of heart to do that. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Bible says everything a man owns he'll give for his life. And it says he'll give for a piece of bread also. He'll give everything he owns up if he gets that hungry. And the Lord said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what keeps our life and keeps us alive. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able to bear it. Now, according to Scriptures, the Bible is our scriptural what? What was the Bible making representation of as it was talking to us just a minute ago about the newborn babes with the sincere milk, and then that man shall not live by bread alone? And then it says, I have fed you with milk, but not with meat. So why do we need the Bible? Because the Bible, the Scripture, according to the Scriptures themselves, the Bible is our spiritual what? It's our spiritual food. It's our spiritual food. Okay, that's why we need the Bible, is because the Bible is our spiritual food. All right, well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to cut it off right there, and we're going to pick back up, why do we need the Bible? Now, I don't know, boy, time sure does fly when you're enjoying the Word of God, doesn't it? But we're not going to take this and try to jam it all in. We're going to take our time and look at these things. Okay, so we've talked about why do we need the Bible today. We've talked about how Satan and man have tried destroying God's holy book. And we've pretty well established that God has given us His words, that God has provided it through copies, and how important God's Word is. And now we're moving into why do we need the Bible. And we've talked about that the one reason that we need the Bible is because that the Bible is our spiritual food. Now let me give you the Scriptures that we talked about already today. Here they are. John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 6, verse 63 and 68. John chapter 5, verse 39 through 47. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. And then we moved into why do we need the Bible. Here's some scriptures that we have already read. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And I believe that's going to wind us up right there. Okay, and we'll pick up right in there on the next recording. So, I hope that you have learned something from the Word of God today. I have, and that you love the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, appreciate you and love you with Christ's love for loving God's Word and giving the Lord and giving the Lord's Word the benefit of the doubt. You know, God could hold us down and make us robots and make us serve Him if He wanted to. But the Lord wants sincerity and truth, and He wants us to love Him and serve Him and honor Him and honor His Word because we want to, not because we have to. He could make us do anything He wants us to do if He wanted to, couldn't He? Sure He could. But that's not the kind of God that we have. We have a wonderful, kind, merciful, beautiful Lord that has done everything and provided everything for us and is providing everything for us and has given us His Word to indulge in. So let's do that. And you have a wonderful evening, and be sure to read over those scriptures again, okay? Talk to you the next lesson. Bye-bye.